that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Add a berry blast off for your day with the new Berry Pebbles. A berry twist on a classic breakfast. Perfect for giving those growing minds a blast of creativity. With the new Berry Way to Pebbles. Yabba dabba do you with Berry Pebbles. Head to postpebblescereal.com to learn more. Yabba dabba do and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements, copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
How about this? Nick Wright calling Nick Saban a liar. We'll get to what that's all about. And confessions from Rob Gronkowski. Let's just dive in and start. It is our rewarding performance sponsored by Capital One Venture Card. What's in your wallet? Here we go. Rob Gronkowski spoke for the first time as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer yesterday, shedding some incandescent light on his former team. When Gronk was asked if he would have considered returning to the Patriots had Brady stayed in New England, Gronk said, quote, "It would have definitely been an opportunity I would have looked at. Playing with Tom is something special." Nick, it certainly seems like the Patriots could have had Brady and Gronk back in New England if they wanted to. Do you think this is a move they might regret?
I don't think they're going to regret it because I don't think Tom Brady has much of anything left in the tank. However, if I'm wrong, then obviously this becomes a move they massively regret. I believe in Bill Belichick. I believe that Bill Belichick, having watched Brady every practice of his career, every game of his career, made the correct evaluation of Tom Brady. But Patriot fans like Kevin Wilds don't believe in Bill Belichick. They think Brady still has a lot left and that Belichick made a grievous error here. And we're going to see who is right on this. But can you imagine if in the late 90s, Jerry Jones looked at Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman and said, "Fellas, you know what? We've had enough. You're the two greatest players, arguably, in franchise history. We are moving on from you." And then those two guys signed up with the LA Chargers and took them to a Super Bowl. What that would have made Jerry Jones look like if Jerry Sloan said to Stockton and Malone, "You guys have had your run. You're finished." And then those two guys went to the Dallas Mavericks and led them to an NBA Finals. That is what is on the board if you buy the Vegas hype that the Bucks are the fourth best Super Bowl odds for the Bucks to do, and how that would make Belichick and the brain trust, which is Belichick, look. Now, Wilds, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Bucks are a quarterback away from being a contender. But if Brady's as good as you believe, Gronk still has a lot left, then of course this is a move that will reflect poorly on Belichick, and I think that Pats fans will regret that he made.
Okay, so first of all, I'd like you to put down the Sharpie because Sharpies are my thing, okay? I've got Sharpies, you've got points, maybe you go in another direction there. So I'm going to be the Sharpie guy. Let's just get that out of the way right away. So
then can Nick, I be the orange shirt
girl? Besides trying to make Sharpies and the orange shirt. So Nick had a thing earlier this week. He's like, "I'm going to make a catchphrase happen." Nick, what was your catchphrase?
"Old people be lying." It was in relation to the
Jordan. He was like, "I'm going to make this a thing."
"Old people be lying."
So I'm like,
"Yeah."
I'm like, "Oh, yeah. If we're going to make catchphrases happen, I'll make one happen. I believe in Belichick, B-I-B. Whatever Belichick wants to do, I'm okay with it. And here's why. I'm prone to sentimentality. I mean, Tom Curran wrote that the crass are prone to sentimentality, and I read it. I was like, you know what? I am too. Whoever you want to bring out there from the olden days, old Patriots, if Richard Seymour wanted to come back, I'd be like, you know what? He's got more left in the tank. Vince Wilfork wants to come back. I'm like, let's do it. We need Vince Wilfork back on the team. So part of me, when I'm not going to criticize Belichick, and I realize that these decisions where I'm like, man, I wish we had Brady back. I wish we had Gronk back. It's like, is that the right football decision, or is that just me being prone to sentimentality? But there is one way we can meet in the middle tonight. Well, not tonight, but later on in the draft. Thaddeus Moss. How great would that be? Give him number 81. Have him line up at tight end. We need a tight end. Caught two touchdowns in the national championship game. Didn't drop a pass all year. We know that Belichick has got his own son on the coaching staff. Robert Kraft has his own son on the ownership group. I think it would be perfect, and it would get both of what I want. Some nostalgia back, and we get a tight end, Jenna.
Okay, so all kidding aside, B.I.B. aside, you know, Nick's right, and Kevin's sort of right. Belichick watched Gronk for years. Belichick watched Brady for years. If anyone knows what they have left, besides probably Gronk and Brady, it's Bill Belichick. So he made the decision to move on. Maybe there are no regrets. What do you think, Greg?
You know, when it comes to Bill Belichick, I don't believe he has any regrets. You look at the decision he made a few years ago in the Super Bowl to sit arguably one of the best cornerbacks in the game at that moment in those big games in Malcolm Butler. He said, we can win this without you. And they almost did. Had they won without him, no one would have cared about the decision.
They
would have thought it was genius. They did not. So the only way that this comes back to really haunt Bill Belichick and the Patriots, and I don't think he still would regret it, is if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go out and win the Super Bowl. If they don't, the decision he makes still looks good and okay. This is kind of like ripping a Band-Aid off of a wound that's not really healed yet, and then Gronkowski is the salt being poured on the wound. When you find out we could have possibly had both of them back because now Gronk decides to come out of retirement, to Wild's point, the sentimentality plays a role with fans, and they are looking like, what are you doing? We could have had both of these guys. We could have done it and relived our heroic times all over again. But that's just not the way Bill Belichick thinks. He understands how to win games. He's always understood how to win games, and he knows what pieces to pull and to move. So I think they're going to be fine. He's not going to regret it one bit.
Okay, and all of this whole argument, Nick, is assuming that Brady and Gronk are going to show up in Tampa Bay and seamlessly just fit into the system or create their own system and take off running. But maybe it was Bill Belichick that was the glue with all of that. Maybe, I know all the complaining they had about Bill Belichick, maybe that was the reason why they were able to be so successful. There's no guarantee these two are going to hit the ground running in a new system on a new team. You know, one's been out of football, one's 43. Am I right?
Well, that's obviously where I'm at on this. Now, I think Gronk can be a Pro Bowl tight end this year. I think the year off will be good for him. I think it's over for Brady. But I'm not going to, listen, Patriot fans, and we have an avatar for one on this show in Kevin Wilds, you've got to pick a side on this. This idea of, oh, draft Randy Moss's kid, and that's going to make a, that's nonsense. And if there's a little anger in my voice, it's a little bit because of the Sharpie stuff, but it's also because the argument makes no sense. Listen, you cannot come on this show and say, I think the Bucs are going to be great. I think Brady's going to be awesome. I think that no risk it, no biscuit with Bruce Arians, it's going to be fantastic. And then also say, believe in Belichick. If Brady's awesome, Gronk has a lot of football left along with Brady, then Belichick was wrong. This is not Manning to Luck, Favre to Rodgers, Montana to Young. It's the greatest quarterback ever to Stidham or Hoyer or Jordan Love or whomever they draft this weekend, or maybe possibly tonight, if not tomorrow. There is no middle ground here. One of these parties, it will either be Belichick was right, and I'm right, that Brady's washed, or Bill Belichick prematurely moved on from the greatest quarterback in the history of the league, one of the greatest tight ends in the history of the league, when they were 1 year removed from winning the Super Bowl. It's not like they've been out in the wilderness for a decade, and then all of a sudden they'd have a comeback year. 15 months ago, they won the Super Bowl. A year before that, they were in it. A year before that, they won it. To move on then, if it turns out to be premature, Wilds, it is a massive, massive unforced error that the fans, the coaches, and the players on the team didn't want him to make. I don't see, Kevin, how there could be a middle ground here. If Brady's still good, this was a huge mistake by Belichick.
Well, I think, Nick, I still think the Patriots are going to be good. I think we could go 11-5. I think we could go 10-6. I don't know, 12-4. I think we're going to be way over. I think Vegas has got us at 9.5. I think we're going to be way over that. So I don't really care what the Bucs do, to be totally honest. I'm not worried about the Bucs. I think this is very – there's another big trade that happened when the Red Sox claimed they were poor and traded Mookie Betts. That was an absolute disaster. And there wasn't – it was indefensible, and no one could come up with any reason why the Red Sox were doing it other than the fact they were being cheap. Belichick can simply say, like, hey, we won 6 Super Bowls. The guy's 43. We're going to move on. And everyone said, like, that's okay. Greg, I think Belichick is in the right here. I'm rooting for Brady and Gronk. I think both things can happen. I think both teams can be good, and Belichick still comes out of this a winner.
Yeah, Wilds, I'm with you. I don't think that there has to be this big fall off or washed experience from Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski for Belichick to say, I won. He just needs his guys and within his organization in that locker room to stick to the course and stick to the plan and execute it. Period. That's what he's always preached. Do your job. And if they do that, they'll be okay. They feel like, regardless if it's Tom Brady, if it's Richard Seymour, if it's Ty Law, if you do your job and we do our job collectively as a coaching staff, we will be in a position to be successful.
We also don't exactly know what Belichick's final plan is. Is it Stidham, or are we going to learn something tonight or tomorrow that maybe sort of opens up what Belichick has in mind and maybe why he made that decision? All right, let's take a break.
Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want what you're listening to be what you're listening to, not what your roommates, neighbors, or children are listening to. Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds, but before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. You already know Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and that they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. My own pair of Raycon earbuds are better and easier to use than anything else I've tried. They're comfortable and easy to set up and work seamlessly with my devices. Having a pair of wireless earbuds is a serious game changer for me. Raycon earbuds are stylish and discreet. No dangling wires or stems to distract anyone during video calls. You've heard me talk about how the company was founded by Ray J and celebrities like J.R. Smith, my guy. They are obsessed with Raycons. Pick up a pair and see what the hype's all about. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/FTF. That's buyraycon.com/FTF for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/FTF.
Tonight's first round gets underway in, I'm going to say, 11 hours. Math is hard this early, sure, but that inspired us to come up with a brand new segment, give or take like 3 hours. Just watch tonight, then you're done. We're going to do a segment called Wouldn't It Be Crazy If? So we're going to go through a couple of scenarios that could unfold with tonight's draft. Nick, you're first up. It wouldn't be crazy if
the Chiefs trade Chris Jones tonight during the draft. The Chiefs have 3 options for their best defensive player. Pay him $20 million per year, which seems untenable. Have him play under the franchise tag this year and then get nothing for him. Or do what the Niners did with DeForest Buckner and trade him for a mid-first round pick. People wildly underrate how excellent Chris Jones is. One of 4 players with at least 9 sacks and 20 quarterback hits the last 2 years. The other guys are TJ Watt, Cam Jordan, Aaron Donald, and then there's Chris Jones. So Tampa at 14 to buttress that defense. Now they have Brady and Gronk. Atlanta at 16, maybe the Eagles at 21. It wouldn't be crazy if the Chiefs Wilds trade Chris Jones tonight during the draft.
It's a great take, Nick. Brian, I think we're headed for some rough waters here. That one of these days you're going to wake up and you're going to see a text from me. And I'm going to say, hey, take it easy on Nick today. Let's not make fun of Nick. We just have to be handling with kid gloves. You'll be like, why? I'm like, well, the Chiefs are starting to ship players out to make room for Patrick Mahomes' huge salary. Nick, it's happened to the Patriots. It's going to be a very rough, you know, few years for you as you start to see your favorite players move to other teams because Patrick Mahomes is going to have to get $40, $50, $100 million a year.
Kevin, I think you're right. They're going to have to pay Patrick Mahomes a bunch of money, and that means some guys are going to have to leave. But if they decide to trade Chris Jones, who, in my opinion, was the reason, probably one of the biggest reasons why they made the Super Bowl, his ability to stop the run and attack the passer, especially in the playoffs, was a big-time difference. When he came off that injury, he played superbly in the postseason. And the reason to me, one of the biggest reasons besides Patrick Mahomes, that they won the Super Bowl, they traded that guy. I'm not sure where this defense, who has some issues in covering guys, stopping a run in the past, where they turn to. So, yeah, they may trade him because they can't get the contract done, and it may be some value there. But you're losing a big piece if you take Chris Jones out of the middle of that defense.
Listen, I think he's the best player on the defense. With respect to our friend Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark, who they gave a bunch of money to, I think Chris Jones is the best guy, and you're right, in the Super Bowl. Two huge pass deflections, one quarterback pressure that resulted in a pick. He was great. I just think for Brett Veach, this is going to be the most logical play. So, Jenna, it wouldn't be crazy if the Chiefs traded their best defensive player during the draft tonight.
All right, you heard it here first from Nick. Wilds, we turn it over to you now. It wouldn't be crazy if.
Okay. It wouldn't be crazy if Wisconsin's Jonathan Taylor led your team to the playoffs for five straight years. He's going to be the steal of the draft. He might not even get drafted tonight, which is insane. I'm going to go through 150 full screens to convince you that I'm right here. This guy is consistently excellent. The only constant is change in Jonathan Taylor. This guy has done it since day one. He stepped into the field in Madison, Wisconsin. What did he do, you ask? Great question. Here's the most career yards in 3 years. Jonathan Taylor, number one. Herschel Walker, number two. Herschel Walker had a great, great, great season. A great NFL career, and Jonathan Taylor's going to be right alongside him. How about the next full screen? Most career rushing yards. Where's Jonathan Taylor? Oh, there he is. He only played three seasons. Look at the guys on this list. Ricky Williams, Tony Dorsett. Oh, another Wisconsin great. Ron Dayne. So it's not like he was just putting up compiling numbers. Look at this single season he's getting it done too. Boom. Barry Sanders, Melvin Gordon, Marcus Allen. There's Jonathan Taylor. But what else is he doing? They're like, oh, hey. No, Jonathan Taylor, it's Wisconsin. They got a big offensive line. No, he's very, very fast. For some reason, there was this narrative out that he was just sort of a product of the system. Then he went to the combine, ran a 4.39. Guess who that's a little bit faster than? Saquon Barkley. Two guys over 225 pounds. He matches up great. Does he catch the ball as well as Saquon? Not yet. Well, look at this. Boom. For the four leading rushers in the NFL last year, Jonathan Taylor is faster than all of them. He runs a little bit like Ezekiel Elliott. Pretty good, pretty good. Okay, next full screen. Boom. Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. It's a nice Will Rogers quote. Here's what we mean by that. Coming off of that great record-breaking year, Jonathan Taylor went out and said, you know what I need to get a little bit better at? Catching the ball. Went from 8 receptions to 26, 60 yards to 252, 0 touchdowns to 5. Now, Brian, there's one knock on the guy, which I think is outrageous. Outrageous, but I want your opinion on this. He carried the ball 926 times. We looked it up, and you carried the ball about 700 times in your college career. So he's got 200 more carries than you. People say, oh, we don't know. Maybe he took too many hits. We don't know how much tread is left on the tires. Is that a valid argument for people to pass on Jonathan Taylor?
You know, I mean, I think you made some very good points there. I don't know that that's a valid argument, but there is a question, because you also know that for running backs, there is a shelf life. There is a certain amount of hits, a certain amount of cuts that you can make at a college and pro level. And then at that point, you fall off the shelf very quickly for a running back. So I think it is a valid concern. However, when you see the productivity that Jonathan Taylor had at Wisconsin, you just can't deny that he has speed, the 4.93. It's 4.39 speed. He has the ability to run people over, and I think that he can help a team. I appreciate you giving the running back group some love, talking about Jonathan Taylor and his ability to carry a team to the playoffs for the next five seasons. I also wanted to throw in the fact, I was wondering what made you bring in a Wisconsin running back, and I dug up, and Dusty helped me dig this up, that your wife went to Wisconsin. So now it's starting to all make some sense. So you kind of, you know, because you're at home, you're quarantining, you have to throw a little shot at the wife and help her out a little bit to make sure things are smooth in the household. I can appreciate that as well.
That's right.
So
we'll go Badgers.
Five straight
it's just nice
seasons
to root for Wisconsin.
Five straight seasons making the playoffs. It's a tall order. You talked about the other great running backs in the league, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon, Zeke, Le'Veon Bell. What did they all have in common? They're at zero straight seasons making the playoffs. There's only two teams in football right now who currently have five-year-plus playoff streaks, the Chiefs and the Patriots. So you've got the team with the greatest quarterback ever and a dynasty, plus New England, as the only two teams who have actually made the playoffs five straight years. However, Wilds, I'm actually going to agree with you on this. I do think there's a chance Jonathan Taylor's in the playoffs five straight years, because I do think he's going to be available at pick 32. And you know who's sitting there at pick 32?
I know.
The Kansas City Chiefs, who need a running back and who are absolutely going to be in the playoffs for the next 5, 10, 15 straight years. So I rarely say this, Wilds. Good take by you. And he won't even have to change colors. White and red at Wisconsin, white and red with the Chiefs, Wilds.
There you go.
I hate to say it. Our researcher Dusty brought that up, and I was like, "Man, I'd be happy for Jonathan Taylor, and I'd be happy for Nick." I hate to say it. I want to make fun of you, but I would be happy for both of you guys. So,
all right. Well, Wild said it. Wouldn't be crazy if Jonathan Taylor led you to the playoffs for five straight years, be it with the Chiefs or say any other team. Ryan Westbrook, let's throw it to you now. It wouldn't be crazy if.
It wouldn't be crazy if the Dallas Cowboys traded Dak Prescott during the draft. And it has to be right at the beginning of the draft, because, of course, they want to be able to get a first-round pick in return, and probably some more, maybe a first and a fourth, first and a third in return for Dak. And here's the truth. This is what you're getting from Dak Prescott, and we'll take a look at the graphic here. You're getting a quarterback that, you know, as far as his career goes, he's had his best career in passing yards, his best career stats in yards per pass, his passing touchdowns, and completions over 20 yards. That's the type of quarterback that you're getting. To me, that would help any team in the NFL right now. Let's just say for a team like the Chargers, that's going to get Derwin James back. They have Melvin Ingram, Bosa on the defensive side. So the defense is set. They have two running backs on the offensive side, good wide receivers on the outside. And all they need is a young quarterback to bring that group together. They're getting a guy that has proven himself in the NFL already that can get it done, opposed to a guy that's coming from college that you're hoping can get it done. So to me, this would be a great trade for a team like the Chargers or any other team in the NFL that's looking for a quarterback. But it'd also be a good trade for the Dallas Cowboys, because you haven't been able to get that long-term deal yet with Dak. You don't know if he fits into the Mike McCarthy system. You don't even know if Mike McCarthy actually liked the kid. And for some reason, I have a sneaky suspicion that Mike McCarthy, who had an extended period of time to look at college quarterback, may have fallen in love with one of those guys and may want to draft one of those guys with that first-round pick that they get from whoever they trade Dak to. Nick, what do you think?
Brian, I think it's an incredibly fascinating take. And if I were running the Cowboys, it's absolutely the direction I'd be going. I would rather go with the uncertainty of a young quarterback than pay Dak Prescott $36, $37 million a year, which is what it appears it's going to take to get him signed long term. Now, I don't think they're going to do it,
I would personally would be shocked if they did it because of the public comments they've made attaching themselves to Dak Prescott, how Jerry and Stephen Jones have wrapped their arms around Dak. But from a pure shrewd business standpoint, if Miami wants to give you, you mentioned the Chargers, Miami wants to give you the fifth overall pick and you can get Tua, who I think in a year will be as good, if not better than Dak on a rookie deal, I would absolutely make that trade. I don't think Dallas will, but I don't think it'd be crazy wild from a team building perspective.
When we saw this on the rundown, I was like, no way. Brian, you just 100% convinced me that this is the right move. 100%. This makes total sense. I don't know if it'll happen, but you know, hopefully Jerry Jones wakes up every morning and watches the show, and maybe he's putting in some calls today. I think it's a great take, Brian.
Well, I think you're right. Of course, it was my take, so I agree with you there. But I think that, you know, if you wanted to bring Dak in there and get him signed up, they would have already made the deal. What are you waiting for? You don't have to wait to July, what is it, 15th, to try to make this deal. You can get it done right now. There has to be some reason why the Cowboys haven't got this deal done.
So look, guys, Dak is 27. Oh, like me. So we're both 27. We both have a ton of years left in our prime. For that reason, if they do trade him, Brian, I agree with you. Great take. Let's take a break. Nick, don't say anything. Coming up, would it be crazy if the Dolphins pass on Tua tonight? Next on First Things First, we gotta go. We can't hear you. What?
The audience.
I don't hear what's happening. Gotta go.
The audience isn't like, is she really?
Welcome back. So the Miami Dolphins hold the fifth overall pick in tonight's draft, and what they do with it has been a debate for all of quarantine. A recent report says the Dolphins prefer Tua over Justin Herbert, and Nick, our friends over at Fox Bet agree, giving Miami the best odds to draft Tua, with the Chargers, Jags, Pats, and the Lions following suit behind them. So Nick, how quickly do you think Tua could actually turn around the Miami Dolphins?
If the Dolphins do the right thing and they stay at 5 and they draft Tua, they can be the class of that division by 2021 and have the best quarterback in that division by 2021, which would be the first time that franchise had the best quarterback in the AFC East in a quarter century. Tua's a no-brainer for them. If he were healthy and they had gone 0-16, I would have advocated them taking him number one. I still think, even with his injury concerns, the Bengals should take him number one, but they're not going to. This nonsense that Justin Herbert might be a better prospect than Tua it boils my blood. I don't understand how anyone could have watched these games and believed it. And a word of caution for any team, Miami or anyone else, that is considering taking Justin Herbert with Tua on the board. The nerds in the analytics community, of which I consider myself one, we've been wrong on a few things over the years. We are yet to be wrong on this. Stay away from that quarterback, X. We've never been wrong. I'll give you the list of guys that we've said, the hell you thinking? It started with Jake Locker. We were right. Then it was Blake Bortles. We were right. Then it was Mitch Trubisky. We were right. Then it was Josh Allen. Jury's still out. I believe we are right. And last year it was Daniel Jones. We will be proven right on that. We are 5 for 5 on saying this quarterback who wasn't that good in college, do not draft him in the top 10. So buyer beware for anyone on Herbert. Wilds, you know how much I love Tua. To me, this is an obvious one.
Yeah, I know how much you love Tua. You know who else loves Tua, Nick? Nick Saban's good friend, Bill Belichick. If we could throw it up. Maybe run a little music and get Nick's reaction if Tua starts to fall. Oh, boy, here we go, Nick. Buckle up. Put new music on it. So there's a new report coming out now that the Dolphins were trying to call the Bengals to get to number one. That means that the Dolphins do not love Tua. That's my read on it. The Bengals are still going to take Burrow, but the fact that the Dolphins are calling around, I mean, they don't like Tua. He's going to slip. Oh, who's there? Bill Belichick. Jenna, I feel great about this. I'm rooting for Tua. I don't want him to slip. Oh, hit the music. But I feel really good about Bill Belichick and the Patriots and Tua. Thank you.
Two things. One, even I dance better than this, and I love you, Wilds, but Nick will tell you, I have better moves than that. Number two, didn't we just hear Nick Saban come out this week and say when he was coach of the Miami Dolphins, they regretted passing on Drew Brees for some injury concerns? You wonder if that still haunts the organization today. Brian, what do you think about the possibility of them passing on who Nick calls a sure bet at Tua for a guy like Herbert?
Yeah, I don't like that idea, but I can understand why a team would pass on Tua. And tell me, and listen to this. And I'm a guy that was injured a few times throughout my career, and teams passed on me just because I went to a small school and I had some injuries. But Tua at the quarterback position, let's just say that he was going to the Dolphins. To me, he would have to redshirt, first of all, because if you listen to Pro Football Focus, the Dolphins had by far the worst offensive line in football last year. And you redshirt Tua so that he can get completely healthy. Number one. Number two is you need to use all the rest of your draft picks, the first couple round picks, on offensive linemen for this year and next year so that the Dolphins can protect Tua, who's had injury concerns in the past. The other part to me, and it's certain, is that when you have a quarterback with these types of concerns, you have to put pieces around him. And I think they need to put a few more pieces around Tua to make him as successful as he possibly can. The other part is the defense. The defensive side of the football for the Dolphins was terrible last year. They were worse in the league, gave up 31 points per game and over 400 yards per game as far as rushing and passing. You can't win that way. So when you can't protect your quarterback and you can't stop anybody on the defensive side of the ball, it's just going to be hard to win. And that doesn't mean that you're a quarterback away. You redshirt Tua, you build up that offensive line, secure that defense, and then in a couple years, 2-3 years, you're a better football team. That's the way I would do if I was Miami.
Brian, it's such a good point. Nick, I'll ask you, remember what happened to Josh Rosen when Arizona took him? They had a shoddy line. He got beat up that whole season, and then Arizona went in a totally different direction. What would be the plan if you bring Tua in if you know you already have a weak offensive line?
So to me, this is very, very simple. The Dolphins spent a lot of money addressing the defense this offseason. They gave Byron Jones a record-setting deal at corner. They brought in former Patriots. Keep in mind, their head coach, Brian Flores, was the Patriots defensive coordinator. Kyle Van Noy and Landon Roberts to upgrade that linebacking core. They brought in Shaq Lawson and Emmanuel Ogba to upgrade that defensive line. So you have spent money on the defense. It will pay dividends this year. You have picks 5, 18, 26, 39, 56, and 70. Six picks in the top 70, plus next year, you have your first and second, plus Houston's first and second. You draft Tua. You spend the 18th pick on a wide receiver. You spend the 26th pick on an offensive lineman. Those rest of the top 70, you take best player available, and next year you do it again in the draft. And all of a sudden, you've turned it around like this. That you can turn it around that quickly with this type of cap space, that type of draft capital, Wilds, if you take the right quarterback. And they have to know if they don't take Tua at 5, it does become a possibility that your New England Patriots, I'm sorry, your second favorite team, you're a Bucs fan now, but that your former favorite team, the Patriots, that they could get Tua Tagovailoa, and they don't want to deal with another 20 years of a Hall of Fame quarterback in their own division Wilds.
Oh, Nick, it's back. Christ. It's back. And to Brian's point, if only there was an offensive line that was prepared and has been training to protect a quarterback who didn't like to get hit. Oh, come on up I-95. Tua's ready to go. Let's get our LeBron stuff. Speaking of other great players, Jenna, all-time greats, Tua and Bill Belichick.
In the vein of The Last Dance, you got to hope this is not a Sam Bowie all over again. We will wait and see. All right, we're going to turn, speaking of basketball, to a little basketball now. Nick spent the last 2 weeks breaking down LeBron's top 10 player performances. We are getting down to the nitty-gritty here. Nick, who do you have at number two?
Well, it's very interesting you mentioned The Last Dance because much like Michael Jordan, LeBron James' second greatest game of his career came against one of the greatest teams ever in the playoffs in an overtime loss. For Jordan, it was the 63 points against the 86 Celtics in the first round. For LeBron, it was the 51 8-8 in the NBA Finals Game 1 of 2018. It honestly might be the single most perfect basketball game a player has ever played. It's not number one because his team lost and because it didn't have the significance of the number one game. But LeBron James in a game where Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance and George Hill and Jeff Green were playing major, major roles for his team, while Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant all played 45 minutes or more for the opposing team, had his team in position to win with seconds remaining before, of course, unfortunately, George Hill misses a free throw and JR forgets the score, and that's what the game's remembered for. What it should be remembered for is the final minute where LeBron was attempting to put the finishing touches on his masterpiece. Down one, LeBron drives past Steph Curry for an and one to put his team ahead. The very next possession, LeBron draws a charge on Kevin Durant, and then the single worst officiating overturn in NBA history turns that charge into a block. The next possession, LeBron drives past KD and Draymond for a layup, and the very next possession, he finds George Hill for the would-be game-winning layup, and then, of course, we know what happened from there. 51-8-8 on a undermanned Cavs team against the most talented team ever. It's LeBron James' second greatest game of his playoff career.
And that means tomorrow we get your number one best game. Cannot wait. Let's take a break. Party on. Why is one former Patriot saying all the Belichick success was because of Tom Brady? That is next on First Things First. Back here on First Things First. Time for stories to start your morning. Sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. Former Patriot Asante Samuel had an interesting tweet yesterday saying, I think Bill Belichick needed Tom to be successful. Do you think Tom needs Bill? My answer is no. Talk to me. Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, I with respect to Asante Samuel, he's wrong. This is a bad take. It's not a lack of take integrity, but it is a lack of take logic. Here's the deal. Almost every all-time great that wins a bunch of titles is paired with an all-time great coach. If Bill Belichick for 20 years had replacement-level quarterbacking, I do believe he wins a Super Bowl or two. And if Tom Brady for 20 years had replacement-level coaching, I believe he wins a Super Bowl or two. But together, they win six. It's the same. Michael and Phil, separate, would have been great, but together they win six. You look at all the guys with a bunch of rings. Well, then there's LeBron, who, of course, is David Blatt and Mike Brown, but he's a separate category. For nearly every all-time great, you have the all-time great coach associated with them, Wilds. So, yeah, like, with respect to Asante Samuel, he's wrong on this.
I Nick, I know that you love LeBron, but your LeBron take is that one is 100% correct. Tom Brady is not LeBron. He's just not. He needed Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick needed Brady. I prefer, just like Brady was like, hey, do we have to do this? We're both friends. It was a joint success. So I'm not engaging Asante Samuel in disparaging either great Patriot.
Yeah, for me, I disagree with Asante Samuel. Nick is 100% correct here. You got a great coach. You got a great player. You put them together, and what you get is what we've been able to witness, the run that will never be duplicated by the New England Patriots. You take them apart. Do we see greatness? I'm sure we see flashes of greatness. You take Phil Jackson away from Kobe Bryant. Was he able to win? Yeah. But when you add Phil Jackson with Kobe Bryant and Shaq and the other cast members, how great were they? They were a three-peat type of a team. So that's what you get when you have a great coach and a great player.
And I think just quickly, in the NFL, we see it right now. A great quarterback, Deshaun Watson. Incompetent coach. There's a ceiling on that. Great coach, Kyle Shanahan. Average-ish quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. There's a ceiling on that. You wonder, what would Deshaun plus Shanahan be? Could that be, or Reed plus Mahomes? We're seeing it. So, like, it is that you want to have that perfect storm. That's what Brady and Belichick had, Jenna.
All right, let's move on to the Dallas Cowboys now. So a recent report says Dallas may draft a quarterback in rounds 2 or 3 amid the Dak Prescott contract talks. Hey, Greg, would this be a smart move by Dallas?
You know, I don't think this would be a bad move. I think this would be an intriguing move. You're not solidified at quarterback. You clearly made it known that Dak Prescott is not solidified in your future by just franchise tagging him. Now, they've been in conversations, and we don't know where they are. But if Dak Prescott was to go down, who are we seeing at quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys? We don't know. So in that situation, yes, you have the opportunity to draft a quarterback. You're trying to save money. If this quarterback works out, if you draft one, then you will do that. If he's able to sit behind a Dak Prescott for a year and then take over, the sky's the limit. You never know what can come of it.
Nick, I think this would be silly. I feel like they need to support Dak. The deal's going to get done. If they want to back up Dak or put pressure on Dak, go out and get Andy Dalton or maybe offer Jameis some sort of deal. But I think drafting anyone besides someone that can help Dak Prescott is silly.
With respect, I disagree with you, Wilds. At some point, the Cowboys have to shift some of the leverage to their side in their favor. I tell a very quick story about me personally. Early in my radio career, I couldn't come to an agreement with my employer on a new contract, and I started working without a contract. And 6 weeks into me not having a contract, they called me into a meeting, and they said, "Nick, if you don't accept the deal by the end of the week, we will start looking for your replacement." And I thought to myself, I haven't had a contract for 6 weeks and you haven't even started looking for my replacement? I just became more entrenched in my demands. If you go through the draft and you don't draft a quarterback, then Dak looks and says, okay, I now have all the cards. The only way to shift the leverage back is to draft a quarterback relatively high and let Dak know, we love you, but we don't have to have you. So I think it'd be very smart if they used a second or third round pick on a quarterback to turn the screws on Dak a little bit, Jenna.
Here's the reason why he really does have all the cards. Dak's backup right now, Cooper Rush. 3 career passes. 3. I think he's got a lot of cards. All right, moving on. Speaking of the draft, Arizona State wideout Brandon Ayuk is projected to be a first rounder tonight. Why are we telling you that? Well, we tell you that so we can tell you this. One scout comparing him to our very own Greg Jennings. Greg, what do you make of the comparison?
I think it's a really fair comparison. And when you look at the size of Brandon Ayuk, 6 foot, 200 pounds. I came out 5'11", 6 foot, 197 pounds. And a couple things that he does really, really well. His run after the catch ability is second to none. It jumps out at you when you watch this young man on film and his ability to pluck the ball out of the air. Now, as a wide receiver, they're going to always have knocks on you. One of his knocks is his inability to create a ton of separation. Well, what takes up for you not having separation? If you can pluck the ball, if you can meet the ball before the defender gets there, you're going to be okay. I like this young man. When I came out, I was the 4th receiver taken off the draft board in the 2nd round early. And this young man, I landed in a great situation. This is why I like it, because he's a really good player that will end up in a really good situation, potentially with a really good quarterback. And he will bud probably a lot quicker than most of the other guys.
I love it. I hope he comes on the show, Nick. And I think it's a big win for Brandon Ayuk that he's compared to Greg and not, you know, Brandon Ayuk coming out of Arizona State. He loves LeBron James, Patrick Mahomes, and has been wearing a nicotine patch for 11 years. I felt like that would really hurt his draft status.
Oh, yeah. Listen, it's a fair point. I'd rather be compared to Greg as well. Now, I got to be fair. I see some of the on-the-field comparisons. I don't know if the off-the-field matches up. I've scrolled through Brandon Ayuk's social media. Not a lot of shirtless cooking instructionals. Not a lot of videos where, you know, hey, let me show you my perfect workout form as I compete for Mr. Olympia. So I don't know if he has, you know, what's the word? Not chip on your shoulder. The self-confidence one Greg Jennings had. But in all seriousness, I talked to Herm Edwards about Brandon Ayuk a couple days ago. He could not speak highly enough of the young man, said he basically carried their offense along with their running back. I agree with you. And I also think, Greg, he maybe could go to the same place you went. If the Packers decide to take a wide receiver in the draft, that's around where Ayuk probably would be taken. So, Jenna, I love the comparison, even though he needs to obviously wear a few less clothes on Instagram to have it be one-to-one. But, Jenna, I like the comparison a lot.
Greg, if you're going to post shirtless pics of yourself cooking, we're going to make fun of shirtless pics of yourself cooking. That is just word to the wise right there. All right. Let's end with a little Nick Saban. Now, get this. The Alabama head coach said he has never, never sent an email or a text in his life. It's probably just DMing everyone. Greg, you buying this?
You know what? Initially, I'm like, I'm not buying it. But when the more and more I think about it, in order to really take on and attract and actually draw these young men that he's draw, these top-tier talent high school players, you want to be as relatable as possible. You want to be as touchable as possible. So for him to say, I'm not going to email you, but I'm going to call you, I'm not going to text you, but I'm going to show up at your school or at your front door, that's more impactful. That will draw any young man into your program. So I believe him.
Nick, I totally agree. I think email and is the biggest waste of time. Nick Saban is 100% right. Okay. He's actually so far behind the curve. He's ahead of the curve, like how vinyl came back. I totally agree with Nick Saban.
I don't have time here. The idea that Nick Saban hasn't texted is obviously not true. So I will end the show with this. Guess what, everybody? Old people be lying.
Oh, no.
Nick Saban be lying. I guarantee you he's texted. Old people be lying, Nick Saban. Go ahead, Jenna.
We need to get the trademark on this.
We gotta go. We will break down the draft tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everyone. Stay safe.